today. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians. Chapter 4. We'll start off here. We don't have a whole lot to do with our lesson, but it has a whole lot to do with me. I'm trying to get myself prepared. When I first got saved, this is one verse that this one verse here in chapter 8. I tried to hide in my heart, mind, and tried to let it guide and direct me. And you know how it is. You do it for a while, and then next thing you know, you ain't careful, start slipping away. You got to go back and, you know, punch back in on the clock. Again, reading in verses 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing." No, don't worry. Well, because that don't do no good. Let things bother you and let things get to you. Read what Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You know? So I'm choosing to forget that little bus accident this morning and that little fall down the stairs, and now I'm going to press on. And where we may have failed yesterday, hey, just realize that today is new. It's got no mistakes in it yet. No mistakes in it yet. But give yourself a little time. You'll be messing up. And then you have to go back and push that button again. But it says, I'm back up to 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I wonder if anybody's got something you want to rejoice about this morning. You got something in your heart. You just want to praise God and rejoice in a little bit. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
I want to just thank God for His goodness and for the two that were saved this past year.
Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray that they grow. Pray that we can reach out to them and disciple them, get them in church. Amen. If they're in church, pray. Now maybe they'll begin to grow. I tell you, when I got saved in the Methodist Church, I was able to grow despite where I was at. You know why? Because this word right here. Yeah. Just took and gotten this Bible, read and studied and prayed. How about somebody else? Anybody else? You got something you want to rejoice about? Something in your heart? Yes, sir.
Dave, I went out a gospel sing last night in Yadkinville, and through that sing, 15 people were saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I need to hear stuff like that. How about y'all? Anybody else? You just got to say something for God. Yes, sir, George.
I just want to thank God for this church.
Amen.
This church family.
Amen. Amen. Tell you what, you better fight for it. You'll be gone before you know it. If you ain't careful, you don't fight for it.
Amen.
Anybody else? I know somebody else has got something you just got to say. You want to say it if you just, huh?
Yep.
Come on. Got anything at all? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You say, well, I don't feel too joyful. I didn't what it says. It didn't say if you feel joyful. It said rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. Can't do it in your flesh. Oh, then on every it very seldom feels like rejoicing, especially when you walk like I do about half the day. But I can rejoice in the fact, like you said, I'm saved.
Amen.
We can rejoice about somebody else getting saved. We can rejoice because we've got a good church. We can rejoice because we've got a good Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Anybody else? I ain't trying to work that up. I want us, as a class, to give our part. You're not in here just to get talk. You got things to give.
Amen.
I don't know, yes, your prayers, but you've had things this week to encourage people. Just let it out. Well, let's look down and keep on reading it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I mean, at any moment. Amen. Now, if he was at hand then, how much more is he at hand right now? That phrase at hand means that at any moment he's going to appear. At any moment he could appear. He's at hand. You know? You know, it's just like, I don't know, maybe you prepared stuff. Maybe you're doing a meal or something like that. You've laid everything out there where you can get to it, right? And the Lord's at hand. He's right there. He's available. At any given second, he could return to take us home. And the Bible says that those that have that hope in themselves, it says we are made pure by that. It cleanses us up. I wonder what we'll do different today if we realize that the Lord Jesus could appear just like that. Amen. If we really believe,
amen.
What different would we do today? Is there anybody we would call? Is there anybody we'd call and let them know we loved them? Anybody we would call and let them know we're concerned about them? Is there anybody, knowing that the Lord is at hand, at any moment he could come, take his church out of here? And it says, be careful for nothing. He said, don't worry about it. Do something about it. Amen? Don't worry about it. Do something about it. You know, the devil, in this warfare we're in, you know what? They used to have a saying right after I first got saved is in right to life. They used to use this all the time. I was involved with them for a little while. Hate abortion. Still hate it. You know, well, we kind of gotten used to it, though, I think. You don't hear a whole lot about it no more. Don't nobody scream about it anymore. I'm going to tell you, that blood's it's in our ground. It's crying out to God, amen, whether we do anything or not. And we'll give an account. We're going to give an account. You say, what? Yeah, we're going to give an account. You say, well, I'm against it. What have you done? Mm-hmm. What have you done about it? Have you even prayed about it this week? 1,500 little infants? A day. A day. That blood's just pouring out. And the Bible says, if we say, well, we didn't know. He said, does not the Lord know? He said, will he'll not bring us into account on these things? Oh, yes, he will. And like that one fellow said, hey, if you know somebody getting ready to shoot me and my family, please don't call my congressman. You know? Try to do something about it. What's the least we can do is pray, amen?
Yes, sir.
Vote. Cry loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. I'm happy to hear people saying things that they were thankful for this morning. Let your requests be known unto God. It's in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So don't worry, pray, and give thanks. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is the verse that I tried to put in my heart. I guess it's been, 1984, some words along that year. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen.
Amen.
That's some good advice right there. Amen. Whatsoever things are true, of course we know that's Jesus. Got your mind on Jesus. Whatsoever things are honest. Who's more honest than him? Got your mind on Jesus. Whatsoever things are just. We know he's the just one. Amen. Got your mind on Jesus. Whatsoever things are pure. Is anything more pure than the blood of Christ? Amen.
Well,
whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Who is more lovely? Amen.
Amen.
Than the Lord. The beauty of holiness. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Boy, what a difference. If our mind would be settled and set on Him, you know, at all times, how much better our lives would be. How much better, how much more control would the Holy Spirit of God have on our lives if we would just let our minds just be settled and set on these things right here. It's in this verse right here. And whatsoever things are of a good report, we ain't going to get that on NBC, CBS, or any of the rest of them C's. Amen? You ain't gonna get it. You ain't gonna get it off television. They ain't got nothing hardly good to say. And if it is, guess what? If they say anything good, it's really not good. It's bad. Amen.
Not the truth.
The Bible said, "Woe to them to call things, you know, calls good evil and evil good." But that's where we're at today, is it not? Huh?
Right.
Poor little boy confused out there. He wants to think he's a girl. Amen. They all for that. He stood up and took a stand and said, "You don't understand, I'm a little girl." And then he got a bunch of people convinced him instead of trying to help him. Instead, they were ready to sell him out and destroy his life. They'll call that good. You get up there and you got some people that really cares anything about him, trying to help him make a difference. You know what? No, you're a bunch of self-righteous devils. That's the way they look at it. Well, I think part of the problem is, though, the Bible says, you know, we're to speak the truth in love. I think that's a lot of our problems. A lot of times we don't really love these people. We want to just straighten them out. If they don't get straight, let's get them out. Amen? Well, I know some things are vile. It's hard. I mean, I can't imagine. Hard to love a pedophile, but God so loved the world, He gave His life for one. Amen? He died for that. He, matter of fact, Jesus Christ was made a pedophile. He was made sin. Amen.
Amen.
He took the full punishment for it. You don't like thinking about that, do you? I don't. You don't like to look at it like that, but that's the way it is. The way it's the truth. I never forget. I tell you what helped me. I read a missionary by the name of John Hyde. Anybody ever heard of him, John Hyde? He said, God, and one time he had spent several days in prayer, and he came and he had to share what God had put on his heart. He said, and he spoke, and he said, "My Savior was made a dog. He was made a dog. Not just any old dog, a Pereira dog. That's a wild dog running around, got no master, got nobody cares anything about. Dirty, scroungy, filthy, not tearing through the trash cans." You know, you've read about him over in the Bible where it said he snuffeth about at night, and, you know, looking through the trash cans just trying to find a little something to eat. That's the way people are in this world. That's a bunch of dogs. That's what we were before we got saved. A bunch of dogs and hogs. Oh, I said that one. Dogs. I'm from the South. Dogs and hogs. Amen? That's a bunch of dogs and hogs. But God, in His infinite mercy, died for a bunch of dogs and hogs. He was made a hog. He was made a dog for us. Amen. Went down. He condescended to men of low estate. He died for us. But now we've been saved for a little while. We get all self-righteous. Next thing you know, we're better. Not positionally better. Not positionally better. I know we're positionally better off, but not better. You know, not better. I don't care how sorry a dog you go out there and find, how unclean, how busted up, how crippled up, how full of disease, how bad he is. Guess what? Only by the grace of God. I think oftentimes, I don't know if you'll ever, I'm running this rabbit and I'm just going to keep on it. I think about it when Jesus, three times I know give account, show where He rose the dead, right? You can look at that. That one was a, you remember the story, the little girl, said, "My daughter, she's near death. Master, will you come? Will you come?" He said, "I'll come." He starts getting up there to the house, and he said, "Why bother the master? She's dead." He told him, I said, "If you only believe." He took him into the house, amen. Her spirit was gone. So I guarantee you, Brother Jim, if you'd went up there and touched her head or her hand, she was still warm. Huh? She was supple. She was soft. You know? She was, guess what? She was dead. And he said, don't worry, she's not dead, she's just asleep. Huh? And he said, they laughed him to scorn. They knew a dead person when they saw a dead person. She was dead. But we know what Jesus meant, don't we?
Absolutely.
He walked up there and laid his hands on her and says, arise. Mm-hmm. Called her out. Young maid, arise. And she sat up. He said, give her something to eat. Amen. That's what you need to do. First thing, you get somebody, get some life in them. You know what you need to get into them? Something to eat. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Get them some food. But then there was another fella in the Bible. It's the only place I find beer mentioned in the Bible. They was carrying him out to bury him. He'd probably been dead for, you know, a couple of days. They didn't keep him much out of the ground, not over there, not very long ago, buddy. Even with the ointments and stuff they put on him, it ain't long, buddy. They start to, whew, you know, he's starting to get rancid. And they taking him out to bury him. And this is her only son, the Bible said. And Jesus stopped the bier. Stopped those who carried it. Whipper had compassion on the woman. And now, you know, everybody, you know, it's easy to say, you know, this is what all these faith healers and stuff say. Well, they didn't get healed because they didn't have faith. How much faith has a dead person got, Brother Rick? I mean, he was dead, you know. The Bible said his thoughts was gone. Ain't that right? He was dead. His soul was going into the dirt with his body. There in the Sheol, to wait on resurrection. The spirit had done went back to God, but Jesus come by and stopped it, buddy. Called on his heavenly Father, and that spirit come back in that. He took a breath. Corruption was gone. Amen? When you get saved, that's what happens. Amen? That old nature, that old corrupt nature, amen, is made new. Clean. Cleansed. New nature. That fellow was, he had the same problem that little girl did. That little girl still smelled good, felt good, warm. He didn't feel good. He was clammy. He was cold. He didn't smell good. If you rubbed his skin too long, you'd be like, whew, man, I shouldn't have done that. Amen. Took him by the hand, boy, it wouldn't be long. He'd be trying to rub the stink off somewhere with something. He was corrupt. He was dead. That's all he was. Then there was this other fella. And Jesus had done about, they more or less kind of run him out of town. He went out on his own. He just poured aside, spent some time in prayer and everything, but they were seeking to kill him. You know? They were seeking to kill him. And he left and went down with his disciples. Now I imagine he was sitting down there teaching them, kind of, you know, 1 on 12, teaching them, you know, the things that was going to happen, what was going to happen to him and everything. And about that time, there was a fellow by the name of Lazarus. He'd gotten sick. He was bad sick. His sister sent somebody down and said, to Jesus. He said, oh, the one whom you love. Lazarus, the one whom you love. Amen? Now, that ain't the Lazarus, by the way, that was sick and full of sore. That was a different Lazarus, okay? You know, the one that, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Got licked by the dogs and desire. This is different because that guy didn't even have a crumb to eat. And this Lazarus had money. He was rich, okay? He was a rich guy. Money. So they're different fellas. Get that straight. But every time you see somebody's name in the Bible, don't think it's him, amen? Like James or John or or whoever. You know what I'm saying? You need to do some study, make sure you know which one you're talking about. Amen?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
If you don't, you'll be like the fellow in here talking about Simon one time. And I said, well, funny thing, you know. How do you know which Simon you're talking about? As a matter of fact, they weren't talking about the right one. It wasn't Simon Peter, it was another Simon. Amen. But he went down there to get Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll be along in a couple of days. I'll be there, I'm coming. In the meantime, he goes back, and guess what happened? Lazarus died. They done buried him. By the time Jesus got back, he was in the ground. He was 4 days dead. Probably 2 days buried in the ground. When he comes back, we know the story, you know. Old Martha comes running out there and says, oh, if you'd only come, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, you believe? I'm even now able. She said, yes, I believe. You were able. You don't want to have the power of resurrection. I believe that. Then we know Mary comes out there and he looks about and they're all mourning and everything. And we know what said Jesus wept. His friend was dead. His friend was rotting. His friend was in corruption. There's three people. One of them, little girl, warm and supple. The other one, cold as the clay. Burial day. The other one's laying in the ground. The worms had already begun to pump it a feast upon him. You know? Well, they was trying to anyway. I guarantee you. They weren't. They were heading that way. But what was it they all didn't have? They didn't have life. They were all dead. Now you look out here. Here's a little child, innocent. Okay. Now I know what the Bible says. That child is not a sinner until it comes to understanding and commits a sin. I know he's got a sin nature in him, but he's not a sinner until he comes to that point. He knows the difference between right and wrong and sin. Paul made that plain. He said, "I was alive once." In his innocence. He was alive in his innocence. But once he comes to an understanding of right and wrong, and he did wrong, just like we all do, amen? And then what happens? You die. You're dead in trespasses and sin. If that weren't the case, every time a little one died, they would cart it off into the lake, to the fire. But they don't. The moment they die, guess where they get carted off to? They go be in Jesus, amen. They're innocent. But the moment that little one comes to that point, that's the reason why the Bible says train them up the way a child should go. Amen. And you pray for them. You understand how important it is. They come to know. And you let them, in a loving, not a demanding, but in a loving, in a kind way, let them know. Not because you worry about what people will think about them if they do wrong. How it's going to shame you and make you look bad. Huh? What if they do shame you and make you look bad? What you going to do? Huh? Going to turn them out like a lot of people do? Well, I'm just simply saying this. When that little child, they're young, they suffer. You know what I mean? They need both. That little child, and he's going to receive them as long as they're in their innocence. We know that. But then sometimes they get up around maybe 12, or 13, 14. I don't know. Nobody knows the age. There ain't no age. It's between them and God, you see. What that age is, some people, some youngins might have understanding at six and say, I don't care. I'm not interested in that God. Cuss you out. I mean, how many of you ever have a 5-6-year-old cuss you out? Huh? Huh? Talk about you take you a go-dog. You know where, buddy. You blankety blankety blank.
These teachers run into
them. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Huh? They made that decision on their own. But I'm not saying. All I'm simply saying is that, buddy, here's this young. You know what I'm saying? And he don't look too bad. He's about 12, 13 years old. But he's sitting in church, and the Lord told him, you need me. You need to get saved. And they sit there and say like this, you know. Man, if I get saved, my friends ain't going to want to have nothing to do with me. I know how they mock and make fun of them Christian people. And they don't get saved. They're dead, ain't they? They're dead. Trespasses and sins. And our young people need to come to that understanding in a very loving way. Not a condemning way, not like, oh, hey, how many of y'all, I don't know how many of y'all fought that? Run from it. Under conviction, huh? But God in His mercy just kept coming back, didn't He? How many of us, knowing what we knew, carried a bunch of it through the filth that we lived in? Huh? And you drug that knowledge of salvation through the filth for years. You know what you're like? You're like that little young man. Here you are, you're 19, 20 years old, you know? Man, party life is sure is good, man. All these girls think I'm good looking, and I got all my days to live, right? I'm dead. I'm cold hearted. I'm just like that cold as clay old boy that's out there on that beer that day. This is cold and clammy. Out of understanding. Fool. A fool, too. You're a fool. You know better. But you throw it off. Forget about that. Somebody come along. I know. You've been at work. And some of them Bible thumpers come around, you know, start talking about Jesus, you know. You say, you know, you need to be ready to die, you know. And you sit there. I don't want to hear that junk. Get away from me. Who's that? Somebody said something today about how you know that there is a God. I believe that's Brother Terry Rain, right? What's that fellow's name?
Clayton.
I can see the first thing I want to ask Clayton. I said, well, Clayton, how did you know that there's a God? Because you know that there is one. How is it you know that there's a God? Well, I don't believe it. You're lying, Clayton. You know you're lying. Jesus put that witness in every man. Even when you said, I don't believe in it, deep down in your heart, you knew it. So go ahead and keep lying to yourself, Clayton. But you tell me, how is it that you know that there's a God? Because He told you, didn't He? He told you. Sunday school teacher didn't tell you. He told you. The Spirit of God told you that there was a God that you was going to give an account to. Just like that little boy, like a fool, you throw it off. Oh, I'm having a good time now. I got plenty of time. I'll get ready later, and I'm not even sure if there is a God, we'll say. You're going down your road. Driving out with your friends one day, way too far. Round the corner you come. I got all my life to live. And it's over. Amen. He's dead. Already. Now it's set, isn't it? Set for eternity. Then there's this other guy. Might be like Clayton here. Years and years and years. He said no By now, he stinketh. His attitude. You even mention God around him. Know if there is a God. And you can just smell the devil all over. Guess what? Jesus reached all three of them. Jesus is able.
Amen.
He's able to bring life to whosoever. That might be where that old codger needs to get. All of a sudden, one day, he sees himself like he really is. What God did to me on that life, and my life, let me see me.
Amen.
I don't see nothing good in me. I don't. See what it's there. The only thing good I see, I find in scriptures. Wrote upon my heart and my mind. Would die for something like me. Charlie Manson died last week then.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to him? I don't know. There's been people witness to it. I didn't believe that Jesus could have saved Charlie Manson.
I
don't know if he did or not. I know he was. Several people witnessed to him. Under conviction, according to what they said, the way he received it. He received it gratefully, they said. I don't know what happened to him. They said Ted Bundy made a profession of faith before he died. Murdered all the little teen girls. Where in this war, and our greatest enemy I'm afraid of in our churches is our churches. We're not looking at things, I think, the way Jesus wants us to. We're led about too much by our traditions and the things that people have said. Brother Rick, I remember hearing from the pulpit, in this pulpit, that, you know, that I don't know what to call them, sexual perverts or what they are, famous. I am apart from Christ. Talking about sodomites. But there's no hope. They couldn't be saved. They were cut off. I've heard that taught. Where did you find that in the Bible? Oh, I know. It's over in Romans. Let's go over there and look right quick. See what it does say in Romans. Romans chapter 1. Let's see what it does say. It said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, verses 24, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You ain't ever done that, have you? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. We ain't never done that either, have we? We never put ourselves before God, have we? For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Maybe age, maybe all kinds of, you know, diseases, oh, it's so unclean. I just got tested for hepatitis C this past week. Probably a good idea. I've had many unclean needles stuck in my arm. Telling you the truth. I know you say you ain't never done that, but how many of you have ever been falling down drunk? How about your mind? That's where the greatest wars fought. It says that he says that he does not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Look at the progression here. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. Ain't no fornicators in here. Wickedness. Or ex-fornicators, I hope to say. Like they said about our church one time. He said, I wouldn't go to church there. Ain't no nowhere but ex-drunks and ex-whores. And Preacher Whiteheart told me, he said, that's the best compliment my church has ever got. Ex-drunks.
Yes, sir.
And ex-whores. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave over to do those things were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. He just said fornication. Then he says covetousness, which is idolatry. God don't like idolatry. Some people, this is what the most important thing in their life they carry in their back pocket. They sin on it. Your pocketbook. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Houses, lands, cars. Missionary can't hardly get on the field, but man, is it time to build? Is it time to build the house of the Lord? Is it time for you to build your sealed houses? I'm somebody to talk. I just built a big old stinking house. And I feel condemned about it at times. You know what the problem is? We're selfish. I am. I'll just be truthful about it. I'm not proud of it. I just know my heart. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. You know, man, I tell you, a lot of preachers run around. They can't even have nothing to do with one another because they're envious of each other's ministry or something.
Very interesting.
Huh?
Yes.
Envy, murder. You say, well, that's one thing. I ain't never killed anybody. Paul said, if you've been angry at somebody without just cause, you've murdered them already in your heart. If you look upon a woman with lust and don't even smile, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Backbiters. I know we don't talk about each other ever. Funny thing, though, I hear it from time to time. I've even had problems. I've had them come up to me sometimes. Brother Larry, have you ever had this? He said, well, I'd like for you to pray about something. Huh? And you say, look at here. You see anything on there that says trash? Huh? I'll never forget. A lady tell me, said, I shouldn't say this. I said, well, then don't. Please don't. But then you had to. Backbiters. I gotta move quickly. Backbiters. Haters of God. You say, I don't hate God. Let me tell you something. You sit there and you run your mouth about somebody in this church in a bad way, and you got bad feelings toward them. Guess who you hate? Look at me. You hate God. That's what God said. That ain't what I said. That's what He said. He did it in the least of these. He did it under me.
Man.
I'm kicking myself in the rear end all the way down through this, okay? I'm not talking to nobody but me. And if you do this, guess what? Now, look at here. And the list just gets worse and worse. Despiteful. Proud. God, what does God hate worse than pride? What was their first sin?
Pride.
These six things that the Lord hates. Pride. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Now, let's back up now. Let's see here. Even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? That's why they're disobedient to parents, because they're reprobates. There's nobody sitting in this room, if you didn't get saved before you left your innocence, guess what? You've been a reprobate at one time in your life. Without understanding. You know what? That's what it is. There's our problem. We think we know why people do what they do, but we don't. Only God knows that. We think we know why this person is a drunk, or this person is a harlot, or this person is involved in sexual immorality. And a lot of you don't even know what they went through coming up. One out of four boys before the age of 14 have been sexually molested. One out of two girls before the age of 12 is sexually molested. And most of us have been by our parents. And I'm going to tell you something, too. It's just about as bad in church as anywhere. That's a fact. I don't believe that. You ain't read the news lately, have you? And I'm not talking about NBC. I'm talking about the news that's come up in our ranks, in our church ranks. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Where I was, I said about that old fellow I mentioned a little bit ago. I said, man, they ought to took him, they ought to run rods through him, put him out in public where people come by and throw mess at him every day for what he did. I had no mercy at all. I said, make him suffer a while, like he made them people suffer that they murdered. Whew, man, merciful. Knowing the judgment of God. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same. He said, if you know that they're worthy of death, this verse says right here, you do the same. He says, I do the same. At least at one time in my life I did. So why would we look down on somebody for the things that we've done ourselves? Knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You say, oh, come on. How many of you got a television set? You can go to raise your hand, just think about it. How many times have you sat there and entertained yourself with things that truly, deep down in your heart, you said, man, I shouldn't have been watching that.
Can't even watch a ball game without lust, hardly.
And it says right here, whoever thou art that judgest, guess who you're condemning? That's right, you're not condemning them. They're already condemned. Did you condemn yourself? He said, because you are guilty. Thank God, Jesus Christ has took away our guilt. But knowing that, how much more should we be merciful? How much more should we be kind? How much more should we care? You can't expect the world to care. They're dead. They're dead. They have no thoughts on these matters. They are totally without understanding. But we are.
Go find somebody that's messed up. Try to help them. That's what we need to do. You know, the devil was just beating the socks off of us, sitting back laughing at us, the way we think that we're some kind of superior beings over the rest of this world. What he's looking for? What God's looking for in us? Us to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Brother Rick, would you pray for us today, please?
Our Father, thank you for this day that you've given for the challenge scripture. God, help us, we pray, in these days, Lord, in this latter days, God, we be fit, Lord, for the battle. stir up our minds on the ones of truth, dear Lord, and help us to walk humbly before thy God. Lord, shine the light. Shine the light. God, we might be able to follow thee in these days and know the way that you have us to. Lord, we shall be grateful and thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for your patience. Praise be.
Amen, sir.
Barbara.